Kill it.
It's dead.
Nip it in the bud.
Ooh.
If I were a big studio executive, I would get Mr. M. Night Shyamalan on the phone and scream he'll never work in this town again.
Step into my office.
Because you're fucking fired. That's exactly what I would do.
I'm going to hire you just so I can hire you.
So that's all I have to say about that. I'm sure he's a nice man. If I saw him, I would shake his hand and say,
I don't think he is.
You're amazing.
Signs point to him being worse than Bruce Willis.
He's my favorite Indian.
No.
I think so.
Yeah. No accounting for taste. Who's your favorite Indian? At Geek Legacy, send us your tweet. Yeah. Feather or Dot?
Oh, jeez. That is offensive.
Is it?
I don't know. I don't think so. How else do you distinguish between the two?
Native American or...
Slumdog.
Or Dances with Wolves.
There we go. Now we're getting somewhere. Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, welcome back to another fun and festive episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. This week's a little bit different. It's just David and myself. Freaking Amanda's sick. Randy's super tired. He was up for like 24 hours doing something in his dungeon. We don't know. But David, you're here. I love you to death. How the hell are you?
I am amazing. How are you doing today?
Ooh, I'm fabulous. Thank you.
Ooh, I like that.
I can honestly say that I'm doing better than that little boy from the Nationwide Insurance commercial.
Well, his trouble and his journey is over, so really it's he's resting in peace.
That's true. Now, that's a commercial that's kind of sparked a lot of controversy. At first, I didn't want to really talk about it, but then I'm like, what the hell? Everyone else is, so let's follow suit here. And, you know, okay, so this little boy, those of you that haven't seen it, which I'm sure is very, very few, but there's a little boy that's, you know, he's saying that he'll never ride a bike, he'll never get cooties, he'll never learn to fly. I think that was one of them. He'll never travel with his best friend, who is a dog, and he'll never get married. And the reason that is because he died in an accident. And then it shows like this overflowing bathtub. And yeah, it goes on to say the number one cause of childhood deaths are preventable accidents. Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah, it was all like this cute commercial. Like it was like he said he wasn't going to get cooties. They had like little animated like little bugs crawling over him. And like it had this like real like fun kind of tone to it. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's because I'm dead. I'm like,
right.
Wow.
Right. And at first,
way
I'm
to suck the air out of the room here.
I know, right? And at first I'm thinking to myself, okay, insurance, I get it. But the whole thing with insurance, especially like life insurance, is you're betting that you're going to die. And the insurance company is betting that you're not going to die. And so let's just say that you do have a life insurance policy on your kid. That's them saying, you know what? Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. Your kid's not going to die. We promise. But if he or she does, we'll make it better by writing you a check and paying for any funeral services. But that's what I'm thinking up top of my head, right? I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the whole idea with life insurance is you're placing a bet that you're going to fail, that you are going to die. And in the event that that does happen, you know, you're going to be protecting the ones that are left behind. But in the case of a child, which is really sad, you know, parents are just going to be left alone with a check and an empty bedroom. And that's
And what's most infuriating too is like the Nationwide commercials. I mean, I don't watch a lot of commercials, but all the ones I've seen for Nationwide the last like 6 months has like Peyton Manning in it, and like he's like humming the Nationwide song, like, and like making up words. He's like, making turkey sandwiches is good, and
right,
stuff like that. And then so now they have an ad during the Super Bowl where the football players are playing and they pull this shit.
Right, and I think
it's like, what?
And here's where the message gets lost, because the whole point is they launched this new program called Make Safe Happen. And the whole purpose of this program is it's designed to raise public awareness about child safety. And that's great. You know, it's going to give parents and caregivers the tools that they need to make their home safer. But that message isn't really there in the commercial. It's kind of lost with this, with the crazy sadness that happens. You know, you forget that there's this whole campaign out there to make your house a safer place. And I get that this is, the whole idea is to raise public awareness, and what better venue than freaking the Super Bowl? I think there was upwards of 114 million people watching this. So that's spreading the message pretty quickly. I just think that it probably should have been done a little bit differently. A little bit more in your face as opposed to sad and somber.
And they did it for the shock value of it. I mean, because everyone's talking about it. Yeah. And so, but I mean, I don't know. There's people who say there's no such thing as bad press, but, you know, there probably is. Right. You know, now we associate Nationwide with dead kids.
Right. And that's not good. Wait, don't get Nationwide. They'll kill your kids. Yeah.
Exactly. I'll drown them in a tub or something.
If you don't get their insurance, they'll kill your kids. That's sad. I don't like that. Anyway, let's move on to something happier. How about Star Wars episodes 8 and 9 getting release dates? That's with the spinoff movies, Dave. That's 6 movies in 5 years. Go.
Yeah, 6 movies, 5 years. Took Uncle George 28 years to make his 6 movies. Disney, they go a little bit faster, and it's probably all the child labor and, you know, mice. Yeah, so we got some fun news. I think people were hoping that we were going to get 7, 8, and 9 in alternating years, you know, 2015, 2017, and 2019. But, you know, there's always the back of our mind that, you know, 1, 2, and 3 and 4, 5, and 6 were all 3 years apart. So maybe we're just conditioned for a 3-year hiatus. But no, Disney came out and said December 2015, you're going to get The Force Awakens. 2016, you're going to get Gareth Edwards' Star Wars spinoff film. 2017, you're going to get episode 8. 2019, you're going to get another spinoff movie. 2020, I think I messed up my dates. Anyways, 2015 to 2020, you're going to get 6 Star Wars movies.
That's nuts.
That's a lot of Star Wars.
Is that too much, or are you good? Are you happy about that?
I think it's borderline. It's not so bad. It's not as bad as like comic movies, just because Disney's the only one making Star Wars movies. Tour with comic book movies, you know, we got DC, we got Marvel, we got Fox, we got Sony, so we have so many people making so many movies. So, I mean, in that same time period of between 2015 and 2020, we're going to get 37 comic book movies. So, I mean, by that account, 6 Star Wars movies doesn't seem so bad. Plus, like we were kind of discussing off the air, Justin and I were, it would be great if these... I want them to play it safe with 7, 8, and 9. I want them to, you know, to make them different and unique in their own right. But, you know, there's still central themes in the Star Wars universe that I'd like to see carried over into the traditional episodes. And then I'd like them to have some fun with the spinoff movies. You know, the idea of Gareth Edwards' spinoff movie being a heist movie with bounty hunters trying to get the plans to the Death Star, that's a kooky idea, but it could be really cool. And if they can come up with, like, kind of fun ideas like that, I'd much rather see that than, like, a Han origin story or even, like, a Boba Fett origin story. You know, I'd like to see new characters. I'd like to see new adventures. And I'd like to see something a little bit different than what I'm normally used to with my Star Wars.
So, really, we don't need a Boba Fett origin story because we already got it with episode 2.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be pretty boring. You know, it's a bunch of Kamonians, like, combining DNA in a Petri dish. Boba Fett is born.
He's an unaltered clone,
though. Yeah, exactly. But, I mean...
Pass.
Boba Fett's cool, but, you know, I've seen enough of Boba Fett. You know, if they make a Boba Fett movie, I'll be the first in line to see it. I'll be excited. But I think it would be great if they could introduce us to new characters, tell us new stories. You know, they can have throwbacks and homages and, like, hints to the traditional stories of 1 through 9. But it would just be great to kind of have a little side quest.
Oh, shit. I don't know. I got a bad feeling about this, Dave.
Exactly. That business in Kaden Imodia doesn't count.
It does not. It's all for naught.
Yeah, or something like that. You know, like, you know, we have all these, you know, the Death Star plans is a great jumping off point because it's been told in the expanding universe. But since the expanded version no longer exists, they could tell a really cool story about, you know, A, how the Rebels found out about the Death Star, B, how they got those plans. You know, obviously it wasn't a simple, you know, they downloaded it off the internet type thing. you know, there was probably a pretty decent battle. You know, there had to be some form of, like, spy action. It'd be great. You get, like, a spy thriller, and like, a Star Wars spy thriller. How rad would that be? Like, a Mara Jade, like, undercover spy? Oof, forget about it.
Nerd alert.
Nerd alert. But, I mean, what about you? Would you rather see something unique like that, or would you rather see, you know, a Yoda standalone movie?
No. I like the idea of new characters. Now's the perfect opportunity to expand, make their own expanded universe, and I would think that they would be foolish not to.
Yeah, exactly. We're on the same page here.
Yeah. Go. Big old page. So many pages, like Game of Thrones kind of pages.
That's a lot of pages.
That is a lot of pages. I accept freaking book 6, which I believe is called The Winds of Winter, will not be coming out in 2015. What do you think about that?
I mean, I guess I can't be too surprised.
I am. I'm fucking shocked. I am literally flabbergasted. I thought for sure that 2015 was going to be the year of the thrones, man.
Well, when did Dance of Dragons come out? Was that 2010?
No, 2011, I think.
Yeah, so I mean, it's kind of frustrating because there's people on both sides of the argument about Martin's, you know, slow writing style. You know, books 1, 2, and 3, which most people consider the good books, myself included, they came out in not fast succession. He's not writing them like, you know, The Hunger Games where it's like 1 a year, but, you know, like 2 to 3 years between each book. And after 3, there was a real slowdown in the process. You know, he got kind of caught up with 4 and 5, you know, originally Feast of Crows and Dance of Dragons was one book, and then he had to break it up into 2 books. So he released Feast for Crows and then said, oh, don't worry, next year I'm going to release Dance of Dragons. There won't be a big delay. And then obviously there was a 7-year gap. And then now we're on, you know, since we're looking at 2016 now, so now we're looking at a 5-year gap between these two movies, or these two books. It just seems like he's getting bogged down in side projects. He's writing standalone books for novellas for Game of Thrones. He's kind of not really involved in the show anymore. He's an executive producer, but Benioff and Weiss have kind of said that they're kind of going their own way now.
You can go your own way.
And so it's not like Martin is like busy in the day-to-day operations of filming Game of Thrones. You know, I'm sure he's enjoying the notoriety and the speaking tours and going to conventions and having everyone say, hey, you're my favorite tugboat captain. But, you know, when a push comes to shove, I mean,
he looks like a tugboat captain.
He does. I mean, he's outwardly, he's saying his priority is to get these books done, but his actions aren't showing it. And I understand the creative process. I don't want to jump on him saying like, hey, you work for me. Dick, come on. But I mean, there's got to be a gentle medium.
Shouldn't his publisher be fucking, isn't it their job to say, hey, get this shit on the road? And then like they pressure the editor and the editor pressures the writer. Isn't that how it works? That's how it works.
Yeah, I mean, normally that's how it would work. But I mean, at this point, you know, book 6 is going to sell 1 trillion books. Mm-hmm. And so they don't want to piss off the writer. I mean, who knows if he's even contracted to write the last book. I mean, if they're a dick to him, he could be like, okay, I'm taking book 7 somewhere else. So I mean, there may be some negotiations back and forth with that. What was I gonna say?
I don't know.
But yeah, it just I that's what I was gonna say. I mean, you and Steve on the Pixelated Podcast talk a lot about like video games should be released when they're done, and to an extent that's the same way. You know, books should be released when they're done. But there should be a...
Well, doesn't he have an outline about how he wants this shit to go?
Yeah, and there should be an expectation. Like, so if, you know, aside from Blizzard, if Squaresoft announces they're starting production of a game, you have the reasonable expectation that 3 years from now, you probably will be able to own that game. Mm-hmm. You know, and people who invest their time in the Game of Thrones books, because they are large books, and there's so many characters, and it's so easy to forget everything, that by the time this book comes out, I got to go back and read all of them over again.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
And I should have the expectation that, you know, in 3 years, I should be able to have the next book. If he's planning a next book, you know, some people don't want to continue their franchises, but he's obviously set the precedence that he is going to continue this series through book 7. And I don't think it's asking too much for us as fans and, you know, the consumer to expect a timely delivery.
Right. Well, I think with the only comparison that I can make with with that you did with video games would be that time is money, and that we got to get this shit on the road because people get paid to make that kind of game. Mm-hmm. Whereas with him, it's just him.
Yeah. And that's a good point. You're a smart man.
Yeah, business sense.
But I mean, in honesty, I mean, our patience is probably eternal, and he understands that, you know.
Right.
We're going to piss and moan, but when Book 6 comes out, you know, we're going to buy it.
Yeah.
You know, the only way to really affect change is to answer with your wallet and or speak with your wallet, but no one's going to. Everyone's going to gobble up Book 6, and they're going to bitch that they have to wait 8 years for Book 7.
Well, and I think, okay, so Book 5 had some pretty notable deaths near the closing pages.
Yes, it did.
And I say deaths, there's plural. A lot happened in like the last like 50 pages of that book. And I was definitely looking for more pages on my computer. I'm like, what do you mean? This is over. Is that? I can't believe it. Or my tablet, whatever I was reading it on. I know I didn't read it on a book. I read it either on my MacBook or on a Kindle. Doesn't matter. Regardless. When I saw that there were no more pages, I couldn't believe it. I was beside myself. I was
like shaking it. Like, yeah. What?
It was like when The Sopranos, when it just went to black. I thought my DVR fucked up. I'm like, well, what the hell, man? That can't be the end. And I feel a little bit sad about that. And I don't want to wait forever. Like, you know, you mentioned the first three books were actually published in 1996, 1998, and I think 2000 is how that went down. 2 years apart for the first three books. And then 2005 was book four, and then 2011 was book five. That is a pretty big stretch. And if I have to wait 6 years, if I got to wait till 2017 to read this, I'm going to be done with the show, and I don't even care what happens in the books anymore.
Yeah, and then you're looking at 2023 for the book seven.
Yeah, pass. I'm over it.
Yeah, it's going to end before then.
Yeah, I'll just watch the HBO show and be done with it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's creating a nice little... I mean, I don't know if they're going to just, like, have just divergence. Like, if all of a sudden after, like, season five, the show's going to be radically different than the books. Or if the books are going to adapt the show. Or if they're going to take the book seven notes and create the show around that. And then George R. R. Martin is just... I mean, his novel would be inconsequential at that point.
Yeah, I'm whatever finishes first, I'm considering canon.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you almost have to.
Right. Fuck it. I'm not going to wait around forever.
Yeah, I mean, because Game of Thrones is going to go seven or eight seasons. They've said, you know, they don't want to go any longer than that. And, you know, we're coming up to season five. So season five will come out in 2015. Season six will come out in 2016. And so that will be the last time that they aligned. And then 2017, they'll finish the series.
What if? They do their six or seven seasons, but then they end it in a way to where there has to be a movie broken up into two parts, and they'll make all their money back.
Well, I think that's kind of the plan. I think they want to end the Game of Thrones saga with a movie.
Really?
Like, they want to go seven or eight seasons, and then, like, one big, like, epic Lord of the Rings style, like, $200 million movie.
All my life, I want to make a bigger Hollywood movie.
These are the most expensive things. Only two assholes in the world who've seen that movie.
Trace.
What's that quote? Big hit.
That's pretty funny. Well, that's what put Mark Wahlberg on the map, you know.
That's right.
It wasn't Fear, Boogie Nights. It was the big hit.
Wrong house, asshole.
Holy shit. I think Lou Diamond Phillips got an Academy Award.
He should have. He's pretty good. I'm on my boat. There's dolphins swimming beside me. Maybe I kill a couple.
Pretty terrible. He likes twirling knives, though. He does that in Young Guns, and he does it in Big Hit.
Yeah.
The Diamond Phillips, that is.
Creepo.
Native American, you son of a bitch. I like that guy.
Spirit world.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of spirit world, Unbreakable 2.
I'm like, segue that.
That's a movie. Okay, so this might happen. M. Night Shyamalan. He wants to resurrect his little franchise there. Unbreakable 2. Still not breaking. Fragile.
They call me Mr. Glass.
Exactly. So, what do you think? Mr. Glass gets busted out of jail? Or did he die? He didn't die, did he?
No, he got arrested.
Yeah, okay, so now he's out of jail. He has to live, right? Because he's the reason why the two exist. Or the two exist because of each other.
Yeah.
That's how that whole works. It's his nemesis. His exact opposite. So Unbreakable. That was a pretty good movie. You know, it came out, gosh, almost 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, what the fuck? He's a superhero with a rain slicker? All right, not the best costume, but...
Then he almost drowns.
It's affordable. Yeah, exactly. Right? I can cosplay as this guy. No problem. It's easy. So there's that.
His power is he can bench press a lot.
Yeah, he's strong. He can take down terrorists. I don't know. I think if you're going to make an Unbreakable 2... You know, now's the time to do it. We got a lot of superhero movies coming out in the next 5 years, and I think this one, it'll probably take about that to get this one going, but you never know. Although Bruce Willis is such a fucker these days, I'm not interested in it at all. I can't stand that guy. He drives me nuts. All of his stupid interviews and how he acts like a jack, it just makes me not like the man. I have zero interest in anything. Going forward, I have nothing... There's nothing that I want to see with Bruce Willis in it.
Yeah, I'll go even further. Like, I have no interest in seeing a M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Oh, yeah. You think he's toxic.
I mean, he is. I mean, he took two of the most bankable... Two of his last three movies had arguably two of the most bankable stars in Hollywood. He had After Earth with Will Smith, and then he had The Happening with Mark Wahlberg. If you can't make a movie with either of those two successful, then you are just terrible. I mean... Everyone likes Will Smith. Everybody likes Mark Wahlberg. But for those movies to be just unmitigated bombs just shows... I don't think he has any idea of what he's doing anymore. And then in between them, you had that The Last Airbender.
Which is a pretty popular franchise with the kids.
Yeah. It had a built-in audience. That would have been like if The Hunger Games came out and made no money.
That was one of the last... That was a summer movie in 2010. Mm-hmm. I think it might have even came out sometime on or around my birthday. Because I remember going around my birthday, and...
It's ruining it.
And I hated it, yeah. I thought it was so bad. I wanted to leave about 10 minutes into it, and I didn't even want to give it a chance. And I was kind of excited to see it. I'm like, yeah, whatever, I'll check it out. Last Airbender, let's do it. And not so much.
Horrible. Yeah, it must have been 2010, because it was one of the first like post-converted 3D films, because Avatar hit big in 2009. And I remember that whoever did the post-conversion, it was all super dark, and you couldn't see shit. Yeah, it was just a fucking train wreck from start to finish.
Hated it. I'm looking it up right now. It came out July 1st. There you go. Day after I was born. Holy shit, though. I hated that movie.
I mean, did you ever see After Earth?
No. I was told not to. I was told that I would die if I watched it. Like the videotape from...
The Ring.
Yeah.
You watch it, and then 7 days later, you're dead. You wish you were dead 7 days later, because it sticks with you. Yeah, it's awful. It's like the bad version of The Happening.
Yeah. that's a shame. Anyway, moving on. Fantastic Four. How about this? This is a thing. This is happening. We got a reboot already. Fantastic Four. Whole new cast. Whole new style of making the movie. I don't know. I watched the trailer. I'm intrigued. I'm ready for some more Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I am too. Josh Trank, he directed Chronicle. He's the one who's directing the Fantastic Four movie. He's kind of been real shy. Not shy. He's been real hesitant to show any footage or any, you know, stills or anything like that. Because, I mean, this movie comes out August 7th. So, I mean, it comes out 8 months from now. You know, when Avengers was 8 months out, we'd already gotten... a trailer, a teaser, 1,000 images, and he's just trying to keep everything. He wants you to be surprised when you go to the movie theater, which is either a very good sign or a very bad sign. Like, either trying to hide something, or like he really wants to like let you experience the movie. And you know, him and Simon Kinberg, who produced this one, and he also produced Days of Future Past, they've been real big on saying that, like, we want to unveil the movie slowly to you so you get used to it. And, I mean, I'm on board with that because I really like the cast. You know, I gushed on and on about, you know, Miles Teller and Kate Mara and Michael B. Jordan and Jamie Bell as the Fantastic Four. And, you know, Toby Kebbell from our favorite Koba from Planet of the Apes. You know, he's going to be Dr. Doom. And so you hear a little bit of his voice in the trailer. So, you know, I'm on board. The trailer was a little bit more muted than I would have liked it, but you know, they have 8 months left to finalize effects and stuff like that. But I'm on board. What about you?
Yeah, I'm excited for it. And that's funny because I could care less about the Fantastic Four normally. I think the movies are better than the comics. And I'm probably going to get in a lot of trouble for saying that. The only thing that's interesting to me about Fantastic Four is Doctor Doom. That's it.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. So we got a lot of movies to talk about. All of these of which had a TV spot during the Super Bowl on Sunday. And I think... some of them are hit or miss. And let's just start from the top. So you actually posted all the trailers that they showed during the Super Bowl on GeekGalaxy.com. So feel free to go there to watch them all if you missed them. And that's assuming that you're one of the 114 million people that didn't watch the Super Bowl. So that's why you missed this commercial.
Or if you had some like a-hole talking through the commercials and you were like, I want to see Jurassic World.
Right. There you go. So let's start with 50 Shades of Grey. We have 100 million books sold, we have 250 million trailer views, and we have 20 minutes of the sexo in the movie. That sounds like it's got a lot going for it. Comes out on Valentine's weekend.
Yeah.
That sounds like it's going to be a hit.
Yeah, on paper it's exciting to think of seeing 20 minutes of sex, but then you realize you're in a movie theater with like 100 other people.
Oh yeah, it's kind of weird.
Also watching the sex.
Right, right. A bunch of women's.
Yeah, I think this movie, Universal still hasn't said they're going to. I think they would really make a lot of money if they did like an in-home VOD, like a premium video on demand service where you paid like, you know, like $20 or whatever and you got the movie. I think I would rather do that than see it in a theater with a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah.
Because I mean, $20. You know, I watch it with my wife, so it's like $10 each. So it's already less than the movie theater.
Well, it would be on, but you're not necessarily watching it.
Well, yeah, we'll be pausing it.
Can you pause video on demand movies?
Yeah, you can pause
you
them.
You can. So you have
typically get them for 24 hours.
Okay, and you get to watch them as many times as you want in 24 hours.
It depends. Some services are different than others. Some of them, what they do is they give you, you have like 24 hours to like watch it in its entirety, and if you watch it within that 24 hours, you can watch it again. And then some of them, what they do is you get to watch it once and you have like 2 weeks to do it. So you can pause and start it over two weeks.
I see. How long do you think will be until every movie is available on demand when it comes out?
I think that The Interview really paved the way because, you know, even if you hated The Interview or didn't think it was funny, it was pretty easy and amazingly convenient that I clicked two buttons and I got a first run movie on my Xbox One or on my Roku. And I think that the theater chains really did themselves a disservice by not showing The Interview and showing people how easy it is to watch movies at home. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people, I don't think, watch a lot of on-demand movies because they're like, I got Netflix, and I got this, I don't want to pay like $8 to rent this movie. But now that they know that it's possible for a studio to release a first-run film on demand, day of release, I think people are going to clamor to it when the studios test it out.
And it wasn't too long ago that George Lucas and Spielberg did an interview and they were saying that the theaters are going away. Pretty soon everyone's going to be watching this shit in their house.
Yeah.
And I thought that was crazy, but now I'm the asshole. Now I actually prefer to just sit there and watch it in my house as opposed to every asshole in the theater coughing or sneezing or kicking my chair or being an ungodly tall fuck sitting in front of me 2 seconds before the movie starts. Not to mention I'm paying $20 for two tickets and I'm going to get a big old tub of popcorn if it's a summer movie and, you know, a soda because I'm fat. That's just the way I do things. So my $35 theater experience, if I can pay half that or significantly less than that, like maybe $10, I'm on board.
Yeah, I mean, theater etiquette is like gone the way of the dodo bird. Like, you know, granted, I do see a lot of my movies in like, you know, press and media screenings, and so usually those are well behaved. But like, anytime I try to go see like a movie or take my wife to see a movie, because she typically doesn't go to the screenings with me because they're during the week, it's like a nightmare. Like, people bringing babies to the movies.
I know.
I cannot. We saw Captain America: Winter Soldier, and there were at least three babies in our movie theater.
Wait till you see 50 Shades of Grey. There's going to be all kinds of babies.
Going to be making babies.
Call them prostitutes.
Yeah, in 20 minutes it's sex. That's a lot of sex for a studio film.
Yeah. Speaking of sex, let's go on to Ted 2.
Yeah.
In this freaking TV spot, it's all about handies to get some semen for donations.
That's, yeah, I like this one.
You do? You're on board? You want to see the Ted 2?
I am. I was kind of hesitant, when they announced there was going to be a second Ted. And I enjoyed the first one, but I didn't think it was, the greatest. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Ted 2 is going to be dumb. And they released the full trailer a week ago. And it had some significant or legitimate laughs in it. I laughed pretty hard. And this timely Super Bowl spot with Tom Brady, everybody loves Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. And everyone loves handies.
I like handies.
Did you see the full trailer for Ted 2?
Yeah, I watched it on geeklegacy.com.
Okay, there was one line that just made me laugh. I can't remember what it was, but no, well, it's not here nor there.
Well, there you go.
What do you think of the Ted 2 Super Bowl spot?
Yeah, I thought it was funny. I thought it was pretty bold.
Yeah. Nice little one-off.
Yeah, it's all good. I think I'll probably catch this one on the Red Box, though. I don't know. I've become more choosy about which movies I go and see in the theater these days.
Yeah, and comedy is so easy to watch on a small screen.
Yeah.
You're not missing anything. Aside from watching it, 3 or 4 months later, the experience is the same. Right. May even be better.
I saw it on... I saw the first one in the theater. But yeah. I'm okay with seeing this one. At the home there.
Yeah. Comedy is good for home. Comedy and drama.
Tattoo opens June 26th. In theaters. In IMAX 3D. But not really. next, we have Inside Out.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, did you have more to add to that?
No, I just remember the line that made me laugh.
Oh, what is the line?
She's just like, what's your name? Samantha. Samantha Jackson. What's your middle name? Lewis. You Samuel Jackson. I don't know who that is. Have you seen a movie ever with a black guy in it? That's him.
That's funny.
Sorry.
That's good. No, that's fine. Inside Out, Disney Pixar, bringing emotions to life. You got joy, fear, anger, disgust, and sadness, maybe? Is that the last one?
Fear, anger, disgust, and sadness, yep. And joy.
I said that. Okay, yep. Yeah, we're good. That's all of them. Looks cute. Check it out. Although, that's another one, Dave. You got the kids, and screaming kids, and kicking chair kids, and cell phones, and all kinds of bullshit that I'm not interested in. I'll have to check that one out at home as well.
What's funny is that usually kids' movies aren't as bad. I don't know if it's just because you're expecting there to be a lot of kids, but usually maybe it's, or what I think is that the movie holds the kids' attention, and so they're not crazy. Mm-hmm. To where other movies take Winter Soldier, which had a lot of talking, which was great for adults. Kids are like, boring. Mm-hmm. And they start kicking your seat and asking for popcorn. To when you go to kids' movies, usually they're quiet because they're like, oh, this movie's pretty cool. It's made for me.
Not me, man. I always sit by the kid to ask questions or laughs at stuff forever when the joke's over and ruins it.
But I really like Inside Out. I'm pretty excited about it. It's got a fun little voice cast. You got Amy Poehler, Bill Hader, Lewis Black. You got your Mindy Kaling. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Hmm. Who's Phyllis Smith? She's the other person in this movie. Why don't I know who that is?
You know her. She is... I'm looking her up real quick.
Arthur Digby. Oh, that's Phyllis from The Office.
There you go. Yeah.
I like her.
Yeah.
And I like her so much, I don't know her name.
she kind of looks like her, too. Right. Sadness kind of looks like Phyllis.
She has that voice. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's very Herman's Head, for those of you from the 90s.
Oh, man. My goodness. So that comes out June 19th.
Nice.
Another summer movie. Next we have Pitch Perfect 2. And I know I'm going to have to see this one. And you know how I feel about singing movies, Dave.
But it's kind of Anna Kendrick.
I know. And she's beautiful. I like her a lot. I did enjoy the first one, but I think my favorite parts were really just the moments with John Michael Higgins and Elizabeth Banks. I think those two are hilarious.
Yeah. Well, this one Elizabeth Banks actually directed. It's her directorial debut.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Are they going to do the play-by-play commentary during
the season? They are. For the Worlds.
Okay. I'm on board then. I think her laugh is infectious. Anytime I hear it, it makes me laugh too.
Yeah, and I think they have a real nice, like, kind of best in show vibe. And the trailers kind of point out, like, the ridiculousness that they're having, like, the World a cappella tournament. Right. It's like, it's kind of like all the jokes you had from, like, Glee, but, like, they're not taking themselves seriously. And Rebel Wilson is, it's kind of nice because she hasn't gone, like, the Melissa McCarthy route to where she's kind of become overdone. You know, she knows she's, like, a great supporting character, and uh-huh. she's not trying to be anything else. And, you know, even in this little spot, she's got a funny line where she's like, don't you think all these people are going to be pissed off that the sexiest one on the American team's Australian?
Right. And she wants to get in the middle. She wants to be the meat or the ham in that meat and that man meat sandwich or whatever the hell she says.
Yeah. Whew. But yeah, I really like the first one. Like you, I think Anna Kendrick is awesome.
Mm-hmm. I wanted her to be a Ghostbuster, damn it. I wanted her and Mindy Kaling to be Ghostbusters. I think that would have been awesome. But whatever.
Did you see 22 Jump Street?
I did not. I saw the first one.
There's a girl. There are girls in the movie. Jonah Hill's girlfriend's roommate is... I wanted her to be a Ghostbuster, but I can't remember her name for the life of me, but she's so funny in it. She's like kind of that like just deadpan funny.
Mm-hmm.
And
I like deadpan funny. That's the way Rebel Wilson was in that movie Bridesmaids.
Bridesmaids. She got the tattoo.
That was hilarious.
She put the peas on it.
And the other dude that's from Little Britain, Matt Lucas, he was like her brother or whatever. Those two were hilarious together. He does the Vicky Pollard.
Yeah. And there was like a ton of deleted scenes with the two of them. I was all sad when I watched like the DVD. I'm like, why isn't this in the movie? They're my favorite part.
Okay. So Pitch Perfect 2 comes out October 5th. Just in time for Halloween.
Nice.
It's going to be scary. Moving on to some action-packed craziness with Furious 7. You got the Jason Statham man. Oh, dang. You got, in the first trailer, we saw cars driving out of airplanes, and I thought that was batshit crazy, and now you got cars driving from one skyscraper to the next skyscraper. That's nuts, dude. And I'm totally on board. I'm like, that could happen. Shit. If anybody could do it, Vin Diesel can do it.
Every movie, they get more and more ridiculous. Like, it's almost like they, like, because, you know, Fast Five kind of set the thing with that the whole tank. No, sorry. Fast Five of the tank?
No, that was 6.
Oh, that was 6. Well, Fast Five had a ridiculous one, too.
Well, they had those two cars pulling that crazy...
The safe.
The safe. Yeah, that was kind of nuts. And they used it as, like, weapons, and they were just bashing the shit out of everything with it.
Yeah. And then Fast 6 had the bridge where they surfed on the car off the cliff. And then it also had the tank at the end.
And driving off the plane. Like, driving through, like, the front of the plane.
Oh, that's right. After the movie ended, when it didn't end.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this one, yeah, it's... I mean, it's fun. I mean, I'm not... As soon as I saw it, I smiled. I wasn't like... I'm not going to, like, do the math. As soon as I saw it, I smiled. You know, just kind of like, you just got to go for the ride.
Yeah. And it's a bumpy ride.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. I want my chair to move like they did with... Didn't they do that with the Furious... With Fast 6? They had
some movies. It's called... down here, there's a couple of theaters they have. It's called D-Box.
That's it, D-Box. That's what I want. I want to D-Box this shit.
They got it down here. You got to come down and watch it then. When's it come out?
Furious 7 comes out April 3rd, Dave.
Oh, that's... Never mind. That's too late. I was going to say when you're down for comp. Well, maybe it'll still be in the theater when you're down here for E3.
Maybe.
And you can go see on the D-Box.
D-Box that shit.
D-Box?
It's going to be amazing. So I'm looking forward to that one. And I am definitely sad about Paul Walker. And I get that we're going to get more Fast and Furious movies. But it's just one of those things where it's going to be like a hole. A void. And I still hope I enjoy it.
Yeah, me too. I'm with you.
Let's see, moving on. Jurassic World. This is a reimagining of Jaws 3. we have tourists stuck in a theme park that comes to life and eats them. It looks fun. It's just missing dolphins and Dennis Quaid.
But no, you said it's Chris Pratt and the Raptors now.
That's true. Chris Pratt is Dennis Quaid, and the Raptors are the Dolphins. That's going to be intense. His motorcycle's going to break down, and he's going to jump on the back of a Raptor. I bet you.
And is the Indian dude Is he the Lou Gossett Jr. of this group?
Yeah. He doesn't make it out.
No. Doesn't want to shut down his park.
Mm-mm. Got to keep it open.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for Jurassic World. It's probably my number. It's probably my third most anticipated movie of 2015, and I have real high hopes for it. You know, A, because I love the franchise, and B, because I really love Chris Pratt. Mm-hmm. I'm just hoping to hit a home run out of this. I'm really excited to see the new dinosaurs, and yeah, can't wait.
You're not alone on Chris Pratt. I think the whole world is in love with that guy, and so now there's this whole rumblings that it's Indiana Jones. He's going to be Indiana Jones.
Yeah, you can read all about it at geeklegacy.com. Yeah, there's a rumor that Disney wants to reboot Indiana Jones, and they want to have Chris Pratt play our favorite archaeologist.
Man, that's crazy.
I'm in. I'm down. He can play Han Solo for all I care. He can play anybody. He can be Darth Vader. I don't care. I'll watch anything with Chris Pratt in it. But yeah, I think he would be a great Han Solo. You know, he's kind of got that vibe, you know. Star-Lord's kind of Han Solo, not Han Solo, Indiana Jones in space.
But
I was going to say Han Solo in space. Han Solo's already in space.
So wasn't Harrison Ford, wasn't he kind of like extorting Disney, saying, hey, I'll do Star Wars if you make another Indiana Jones, but maybe he didn't say, I have to be an Indiana Jones, so then they just put Chris Pratt in it instead? Is that how it's going to work?
That would be so funny. It's like, damn it, I didn't read the contract.
Yeah, his old eyes didn't catch that part.
It's like, hey, we made Indy 5. You weren't in it.
Fuck off, old man. I could see it. That actually comes out June 12th. I should have mentioned that. Jurassic World. Go see it. It's going to be fun. Next, we have Tomorrowland. Now, this is a place where nothing is impossible. It's a place where you can actually change the world. And I've already convinced myself that George Clooney just plays a crazy old codger, and this world doesn't even exist. I think it's going to be a make-believe. And that's all I have to say about that.
I respectfully disagree. This is my second most anticipated movie of 2015, and if not for Star Wars The Force Awakens, this would easily be my number one most anticipated movie for a number of reasons. A, I love Clooney. Clooney's amazing. Brad Bird, who's directing it, you know, he really seems to put a lot of love and care into his movies, and he really meticulously chooses his projects. And what I really like about him is he was able to take a franchise like Mission Impossible and make Ghost Protocol, which is completely different from the other entries in the franchise. And, you know, I think that now that Tom Cruise is not so much a punchline anymore, I think he actually deserves the lion's share of the credit for the Mission Impossible franchise, because he finds these directors who want to make movies within the Mission Impossible universe, and he allows them, because, you know, Cruise is the main producer on the series now, to make their own movies. You know, Abrams wanted to make kind of like an Alias like spy thriller, and he let Abrams do it. Mission Impossible 3 is great.
Yeah, it was my favorite one until.
Yeah,
I like Ghost Protocol too, but when I saw Mission Impossible 3, I was like, holy shit, that's an awesome movie. That was like what I said when it ended.
And then John Woo just wanted to make, you know, an American kind of like hard boiled film, you know, like he had been doing. And, you know, Mission Impossible 2 was also good. Yeah. You know, De Palma, he wanted to make, you know, a De Palma movie, but, you know, fuck him. Yeah. And then Ghost Protocol, Brad Bird came in. He wanted to, you know, kind of just make this high-tech James Bond gadgety type just, like, thriller. And Ghost Protocol's rad. And I can't wait for Ralph McQuarrie's Mission Impossible 5 comes out this year. We didn't get a Super Bowl spot for that, sadly. But, sorry, back to Tomorrowland. Brad Bird directs it. That's kind of where the whole segue came through. I'm excited for him. And, yeah, I think that they've done such a good job of teasing it. You know, they're showing us just enough to get us interested, but not really showing us a lot. George Clooney's character plays, you know, a former, like, whiz kid, like Billy Whiz Kid from
Billy Quiz Boy,
from Venture Brothers. But now he's all grown up. And, can't wait. Comes out in July.
Tomorrowland.
Oh, no,
May 22nd.
Yeah.
I think he's an old codger, and it's all fake. He's got some kind of disease that makes him see this world.
Oh. Well, I hope you're wrong.
I hope I'm wrong, too. For your sake. Next, we have Minions. I don't know. I think Minions are cute. I like them in small doses like you. I don't see how they're going to carry a 90-minute movie, but stranger things have happened.
We do have two Smurf movies.
That's true. I'll definitely Redbox Minions. I remember just watching like their little shorts, and I'm totally cool with that. They could have like little shorts, like how Roger Rabbit. There were, remember the Roger Rabbit shorts movies? I could totally see Minion shorts in front of every movie that I ever watch.
Oh yeah,
I think that would be amazing.
Any, yeah, the ones that are on the DVD are so funny.
Yeah, hilarious. yeah, exactly. I saw this shirt the other day at Target that said "Love at First Sight," and it was a minion looking at a banana.
Oh, next. Now your favorite one's next.
Yeah. Okay, so Minions comes out July 10th. That's gonna have a lot of competition in the summertime, but whatever. Kids go to these things. Next is The Seventh Son. This is a movie that should have came out a couple years ago, but just kept getting marred with delays. Part of the Legendary / Warner Brothers breakup or something.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. But either way, it's finally coming out. I think it's going to be terrible. Definitely catch this one at home.
Or not at all.
Or not at all. Well, I like Jeff Bridges, and Kit Harington's in it, and he got really buff for it, so I might as well take the time to watch it.
He was pretty buff in fucking Pompeii, too.
Yeah, he's ripped.
I'm like, is that what's under those coats?
That guy's holy a beast. Shit. You know, he's really short, too. I saw him. I went to a press conference for The Seventh Son back in 2013. And
it was supposed to
come. Yeah. And he's not very tall. I mean, he's not short either, I guess. I said short, but he's not that short. He's just not. He's under 6 feet.
He's not Jon Snow height.
Yeah. That comes out February 6th. This Friday. So is he keeping score? Next, we have Terminator Genesis. This one will probably flop, but I put my money on it. I said it's going to do better than what we expect.
Yeah, I just don't know.
Yeah, it's probably going to be terrible.
I mean, I want it to be great because I love the Terminator franchise. It just kind of looks like a parody of itself, and it looks like it.
Some looks meta, Dave.
Yeah, it just looks like it's a whole, I'm getting too old for this shit, yo, or I have a bad feeling about that. It looks like it's going to be like a 100-minute version of that.
Right, and that's a shame. And that's actually the same time. That's July 1st, and that's a busy summer, man. I feel like I might have to be sitting in the theater quite a bit.
Yeah, July's also when Ant-Man comes out. There was no Ant-Man teaser. No, you know, no. Avengers comes out in May. There was no Avengers trailer.
Yeah.
You know, it's Mad Max didn't have anything there, and I think Mad Max is end of July. I could be wrong on that one. So yeah, it's going to be just a ridiculous summer.
Mm-hmm. Next, we have the Divergent series, Insurgent. This is a big pass for me. I watched the first one, didn't really like it, and as far as I'm concerned, it should have just ended there. And we still got two more movies, possibly three. Are they going to divide the last one up into two parts?
They haven't said yet, but I'm sure they
probably
will.
Right. And so that comes out March 20th. The trailer or that TV spot told me nothing. It's just a whole lot of shit going on. Like she's just in some digital world and having nightmares. Who knows? Who gives a shit? Let's move on. Next, we have Hot Tub Time Machine, Part 2. Now we got Adam Scott taking the place of Mr. John Cusack. He's playing his son, from what I understand. That comes out February 20th.
And looks funny as shit.
Yes, I'm on board for this movie. When I saw the first one, I had no idea what to expect. You know, I was still kind of like on a hangover vibe. It came out around the same time. And I saw it on home video. And I laughed my ass off. I thought it was hilarious. I couldn't believe how funny that movie was.
Yeah, it came out right on my birthday. And so I went and saw it on my birthday. And, like, I went with a couple of people as, like, a goof. Like, hey, let's see this silly movie. You know, we'll get a couple laughs. And I was leaving it. But, man, that movie's so fucking funny.
That's hilarious.
The whole thing with, like, Crispin Glover, where he's going to, like, is this where he loses his arm? Is this where he loses
it? Yeah. Yeah. And our buddy from freaking Karate Kid's in it, too. That was a nice little cameo.
Yeah, Billy Zabka.
Yeah. He's got that mustache, that sweet 80s mustache. Holy shit.
I bet you a blowjob from your wife. It's like, what do I get? He'll give you a blowjob.
Man. That guy.
Yeah, it was another fun commercial that kind of played off the Super Bowl vibe, you know, with the whole Patriot Lou. Mm-hmm. It's like Captain Crunch had sex with Paul Revere.
Yeah.
Let's talk about inflating your balls.
I like it. I'm on board. Can't wait. Comes out February 20th, so we don't have long to wait for that one.
Nope.
That's exciting.
1 week longer than the next one.
Yeah. Then we have The Kingsman. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Kingsman, The Secret Service. This is one with Colin Firth, where he gets to play James Bond, but not really. It's going to be cooler than James Bond.
Hell yeah.
I don't know.
I think he is.
So this one puts people in a predicament because it comes out the same day as 50 Shades of Grey. So you got me who wants to see this, and then, you know, my wife who will probably want to see 50 Shades. So
I think this is perfect. You go to one, she gets the other. She gets all jazzed up from watching 50 Shades of Grey. You get all pumped up from watching The Kingsman, and you guys just go at it.
Yeah.
In the car, probably. You don't even make it home. I've yet to not like a Matthew Vaughn movie, so I don't see the streak ending with this one.
Oh, Matthew Vaughn. I forgot that he directed this movie.
Yeah.
Lastly, we have Unfinished Business, which I thought was called Like a Boss. I was convinced that this movie was called Like a Boss. I don't know what I was thinking. It must have just been the commercial. But at no point in the trailer did I think it was called Unfinished Business.
Hmm.
I missed that part.
Yeah, it's alright. I think a lot of people did.
Got Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, I really like the cast. I really like Dave Franco. And I really like Tom Wilkinson, kind of character actor that no one knows his name.
Mm-hmm.
But he's in just a ton of shit that if you went back, you would totally realize how much you liked it. And I like my R-rated comedies, and I think Sienna Miller is obviously incredibly attractive.
Mm-hmm. I like him in... Tom Wilkinson, that is. I like him in Michael Clayton.
With Liam Neeson?
No, with...
George Clooney?
George Clooney.
No. Yeah, okay.
He plays his buddy Arthur, and he just like strips down naked in front of his girl that's he's like in love with, and she's there. It's like a conflict of interest because she's on one side of a case and he's on the other, and he just like gets down naked, but he's on this medication and he tries to get him committed, whatever. I don't know, it's crazy. You see how crazy he can be. But yeah, he's in a ton of stuff. He was even in fucking Batman Begins.
He was
Falcone. He's like that other actor that's an 100 things too. Richard Jenkins.
Yeah.
That guy's in 100 movies as well. He's just one, you don't know his name, but
he knows his face.
Yeah, you're like, God damn it, that guy's in everything. Good shit. Anyway.
Have you seen The American Sniper yet?
No.
Fuck, it was number one again for the third week in a row.
That's because Seven Son hasn't come out.
It's been like $250 million. It's ridiculous.
I'm pretty sure 50 Shades is going to make that in overnight.
Do you think?
I think 50 Shades is going to crush it.
Yeah, see, I'm curious. I don't know. I guess it's coming out the right time. It's coming out to have Valentine's. And yeah, I don't know. I just have this feeling. I think the box office on 50 Shades is going to be very interesting. Like, I just have this feeling that, like, you know, people are already, like, shy of adaptations. Like, oh, it's not going to be as good as my adaptation. And then a lot of people, I think, like, are like, secret fans and may not want to, like, go out and, like, see, like, this dirty movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that guys don't really have an interest in seeing it other than just to get their women all revved up. I could totally see it making $1 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just I could also wouldn't be surprised if it was just this like mid-level meandering semi-success to where they don't make the second and third one.
I think it's gonna be the Dirty Dancing of 2015.
Holy shit, that's saying a lot.
That movie cost like $8 to make, and it made $1 billion.
Yeah, it makes like $1 billion every year. Everyone likes it.
It's impossible to hate.
Yeah, you could say it like lags at the places, but like when that end dancing comes up, you're glued. Even if you're watching on TV with commercials, you'll sit through commercials so you don't miss it.
I love Dirty Dancing. I will finish, no matter what part of the movie I come in, I finish it. Love it. And
yeah.
I think 50 Shades will have that impact on people.
Yeah. Well, good.
It's an R-rated Dirty Dancing. It takes things to the next level. I do think it's interesting that because the guy in 50 Shades is like a super billionaire, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if he was
Christian,
if he was poor, he would just be a creep that likes to tie up women. But because he's rich, it's like, oh, no.
Because he's rich and good looking.
Yeah, otherwise it'd just be torture porn. But because he's good looking, it's intriguing.
It's interesting. Yeah. Now, all, like lately, all these like real life mistresses have been coming out and saying like the 50 Strategic Grays like BDSM light, and I'm like, what?
Right. You gotta learn some code words before you watch this movie. Expand your vocabulary on the naughty stuff.
Yeah, we're gonna see lots of the boobs.
Hmm.
We're gonna see lots of boobs.
Oh, okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, all right. I got, you know, I'm not afraid of boobs. Mm-mm. I'm on.
Motorboating, son of a bitch. Like a boss. So yeah. So unfinished business. And I don't think I ever finished that. That was Vince Vaughn. Comes out March 6th. And again, all of these trailers are available on geeklegacy.com. Check them out. They're right there on the homepage for your viewing pleasure.
Yeah, Nick Frost is in Unfinished Business as well.
From like Simon Pegg movies and such?
Yeah.
I watched that Cuban Fury movie the other day. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, it had its moments.
It's on the Netflix.
If you like salsa dancing.
I don't. I know how to salsa.
Do you?
Yeah, I was taught.
Oh, I didn't really?
Yeah, well, I didn't go to a class or anything, but...
What, watched a YouTube video?
No. So, next best thing. CC from Autoland taught me how to salsa.
Oh.
In Las Vegas. Yeah, nice. We was at the club. She's like, this is how you do it. Watch me. Mm. And I watched, and I did. And I killed it. I crushed it.
Oh, yeah?
Muy caliente, Dave.
Is that a what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas story?
No. No, no, no. I won't share anything that happened on that weekend. I talk for a living. I have to boast.
That's right. You are on like 32 podcasts.
I am.
You're basically the mayor of the internet.
I'm the voice of the angels. But not really. I just like quoting that movie. It's a good one.
Who doesn't, though?
All my life, I want to make a bigger Hollywood movie. So yeah, that's all I got, man. Do you got any shout-outs?
Yeah, you know, I'm great job last week when I wasn't here. Sorry, I was under the weather. But I meant to give a shout-out to our good buddy Andy B, who hosts the Flash podcast. His network is expanding and doing a Supergirl radio podcast, and I believe they're starting the end of February. They're kind of doing a season zero, kind of like the Flash podcast did, to where they talk about who Supergirl is and who her villains are and why we should care about her, and they'll also break casting news and things like that. And yeah, so you can go over to supergirlradio.com subscribe and find out all about them, and definitely tell Andy B that David and Justin sent you, because he likes to know that we're helping him out.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, you need it?
That you just said like my entire vocabulary word for word. That's all I say all day is what? And you need it? No joke. That's amazing.
You
know
your body.
You know my body. I was just about to say, you know my body. Oh my god, I love it. Dave, you're a fine young man.
Thanks. What about you? Got any shout-outs? You gotta have one at least.
Oh yeah, I have a bunch every week.
Sweet.
Of course I have Mr. Tim Byers from the fullbleed.net, .com, .org, .edu. He is a fine young man. He writes about the business side of our lovely geek culture. If you want to check him out. Also, Mr. Tony Tolato over at Sci-Fi Talk. This guy has seen and done it all, folks. Check out his website, scifitalk.com. It's amazing. He's got a great podcast, The Time Capsule. You should check it out as well. Once a month, I meet up with these two guys via Google Hangout, and we shoot an episode called Everything Geek, and we just kind of recap what's going on for the month, and it's a blast. I love those two guys. They are two geeky sons of bitches, I tell you what. So check them out. And then, of course... Kristen and Corey over at the Electric Fan Cave, two very lovely ladies. I had the pleasure of being a guest on the show a couple weeks ago, and of course we talk about their podcast every now and again. They are basically our polar opposites, our evil twins. They literally share the exact opposite opinions what we have on this show. So if you can't stand us, you hate us, you just want to beat the shit out of us on a regular basis because of what we say and do, their show might be your moment of zen. So give them a go. Electric Fan Cave. Subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or SoundCloud or whatever the hell you use these days. Remember to check out the other podcasts on the Geek Collective Network. Of course, there is the Pixelated Podcast, where Steven and I host a show every week that details a week's worth of highlights on video game news. Even though I don't sound like I'm having fun, I assure you I am. So check it out. It's the blast. Also, we have the Comic Corner Podcast, which is hosted by Jeff and Tyler, with the review comics currently on their pull list. Have some fun interviews, talk about what's hot, what's not. Of course, comic books cost $1 billion these days, so I would highly recommend you check out what is on their list. They got the goods. Remember to go to geekcollection.com for all your geek news and reviews. Freaking like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter @Geek Legacy. Thank you.